Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Because you've got to remember, I didn't have no oxygen in my brain for 70-odd minutes. You know? And when you don't have oxygen for, say, over 70 minutes, you should be severely brain damaged. But I'm not anything like that. The truth to be told, I should be 6 feet under right now. But for me to still be here, get up in the morning, play with my children, you know, forget about football, just being able to breathe alone, you take it for granted. But when you're on the other side of it, you really appreciate the little thing. For me, I'm thankful and I'm grateful for every single thing that I've got right now.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of In Lockdown in partnership with Camden Town Brewery. I'm Josh James. We've got another great guest lined up today, but before we do get going, just another reminder to make sure that you've subscribed so that you don't miss out on any of our future shows. Today we are in lockdown with Fabrice Muamba. Fabrice came through the Arsenal Academy before going on to make a couple of first team appearances, but an incident on the pitch during his days at Bolton Wanderers would change his life forever. So first of all, Fabrice, thanks for speaking to us today. And how's the lockdown been for you so far?
It's been good. Spent a lot of time with kids, trying to homeschool them as well, which has been challenging at times. But overall, it's been it's been great time. Spent time with the family and doing so many activity, and been able to do things that I wasn't able to do if I was working, you know. So, but all in all, it's been a great experience for us as a family, you know. As I said, there's been a lot of positive and negative about it. Like, negative that we don't have the freedom to do whatever we want to do, i.e. going outside and doing the other thing that we like to do. But the positive side of it is just being able to spend quality time with the family and, you know, get to know the kids even more now. In this current climate, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, it's great that you're spending a bit of time with us as well today. So hopefully we can go back and get some stories from your playing days. Let's start right at the beginning when you arrived in England. How old were you when you first moved over to England, and when did you first come to the Arsenal Academy?
So I moved over when I was just short of my 12th birthday, and we lived in Walthamstow. So, which is closer to the academy, then. So, I joined the academy at age 14, but I was like a latecomer in my age group, and it was a shock because there was the way of Arsenal had to do certain things, the way it was structured to do a lot of things, but for me, I never really got into it till I started, you know, realizing the level of I have to be in order for me to perform, in order for me to even to be in the academy to read, I had to raise my game. I had to train a little bit extra harder because those guys that was there before me, they had a good 3 or 4 years of being in academy, which gave them an advantage. But what I always wanted to, I just wanted to work hard. And I think that kind of helped in my football journey.
Yeah, because I suppose you are not only new to Arsenal, you're new to London and to England itself. You were still adjusting, a young lad. How difficult was it to settle in off the pitch as well?
The biggest difficulty was the language barrier. That's the biggest thing, you know, being able to learn to speak English from school and then taking it that take that and then take it to the football pitch. It was completely a huge culture shock. But I think through hard work and be persistence with everything, and it worked out. Once I was able to, you know, football, it's a universal language. Once you know how to, you know, pass and this and that, you become fluent, and people give you more respect. And I think that's what happened with me. As long as I was able to put in the shift in and try to show that I want to learn, not just play football, also speak English, it kind of get everybody on my side to help me to become a better person and a better player.
So you worked your way through the academy, and you were called the new Patrick Vieira at one point. What did you mind that? Did you think that was too much pressure, or did you quite like it?
I was fortunate enough that when I was in the academy, Patrick was there, you know, and it was, to be fair to Patrick, was just very sound towards me, always gave me advice. And I can recall the first time I went to train with the first team and to train with all these guys. It was just like a dream come true, you know. You go out there, then you see everybody that you hear of. But now, like, they are really, you know, in the same pitch as you. They're calling your name. They stop calling me Fabrice. They just call me Fab.
Yeah.
So it'd be just like, wow, this is like a life experience. But for me, you know, I never got the chance to play with him, but train with him, it was just an honor. And I never put a pressure on me to be the next one. I just wanted to be Fabrice, and I wanted to be my own man, to be honest.
But was he somebody who you looked to in terms of style? Is that the sort of player you were trying to become?
Very, very much so. I mold my game around Patrick. And I was fortunate enough that when I was in my first year scholar, they used to give us like a DVD of an Arsenal player. So whoever played in your position, you watch the DVD of how they play. So I always got Patrick's DVD. So I watch what he does in the pitch. I watch how he go about his stuff in terms of when he's got the ball, when he doesn't have the ball, how he behave. And that kind of, you know, motivate me, say, I want something equal, something similar to this, or even better than this if I have an opportunity. It also gives me that desire to really want to play at a top level.
And it wasn't long before you made your debut. I think it was, you're just 17, weren't you? 2005.
Yeah.
Away to Sunderland.
Yeah.
Tell us about, first of all, the build up to that game when you realised you were going to be playing, making your debut.
Listen, I tell you this is a, it's a, like a dream come true. We train. I think Arsenal played, they had a midweek game and they had a Saturday game. So New Banfield on a Friday leading to our weekend game said to me, oh, you're not going to play for the reserve this weekend. I said, okay, but I want you to be in Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So that was the first time, obviously, as a first year scholar, I used to come training every single day, but I'm off on a Saturday and Sunday. But this is the first time that I'm actually in the training on a Saturday morning, train on a Sunday. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be in the squad. I never thought I want to be in the starting 11. It was just in the squad. Come Sunday training session, I think after the team won on a Saturday. So Sunday morning when Arsene came out, the way Arsene set up the team, he liked to use the cone, little cone, to show his analysis. And he put it up and he put, you know, two holding midfield player, Fabrice, and this. Once he said my name, I almost froze. Like, I almost thought, like, did he really call my name? Like, my name on the starting 11. And from there, it was just like, I was so eager and I was so excited. But, you know, we trained, we did all the training stuff, set pieces. And we traveled to Sunderland on Tuesday morning. I was excited. But, again, we'll end up winning the game 3-0.
Yeah.
I think Robin scored, Boue scored, I can't remember who scored the other goal, but it was just a tremendous experience, like a life experience. The whole journey from the morning of the game to after the game finished, I didn't go to bed till probably 4 in the morning.
Oh, really? Couldn't sleep?
No, I couldn't sleep because it kept playing in my mind, you know? It's like, wow, I've literally made my debut, you know, in Stadium of Light. And it was a great experience.
Who particularly helped you out that day?
So was just a big help. He's just like, okay, just calm, relax, no problem. Anything, anytime you're confused, just pay the ball back to me. So it was the top guy, especially that first game. So made me relax and just to go out there and enjoy myself. You know, it was great.
And how does it change you as a young player, as you say, a first year scholar coming through? and then you make your first team debut, and then you do you feel much more at home amongst everyone else? Because you're training with these players a lot, aren't you, anyway? But once you've played, does it change anything within you?
It changed the way you train, because you said, I want more of this. You know, those kind of opportunity, it literally takes you from, okay, you're a footballer, but you really, if you really want to be here, you have to train harder every single day to even to have this opportunity. So once I had a taste of it, I said, I want more of this. I want more of this feeling, you know, and obviously, you know, when I remember we played the second game, I think we went to the third round or fourth round, we played Reading at home, and it was at Highbury. I mean, that was just an incredible experience. I thought Sunderland was great, but Highbury just like, it just took it to another level. It was, and we ended up winning the game, but it was like an amazing opportunity. I'm glad that I can say I'm one of the people that played at Highbury, you know. So it was, as a player, once you have those opportunities, it just stays in you and it just gives you that more hunger and desire to go out there and to, you know, it motivates you just to be a better player, really, to be honest.
So tell us about that day at Highbury then, because, again, another big game. It was, I think, Jose Reyes was in the team that day, Flamini in midfield with you, Philippe Sendros, Johan Giroud. Who did you have from your family watching you there?
I ended up having 50 tickets that day.
50?
50 tickets. I had people in the north stand, people in the right and the south stand, people in the main stand. So everywhere in the stand, I had somebody in there watching me. It was incredible. I had my mum and dad, my brothers, uncles, nephew, nieces. Because once I knew I was playing, what I started to go around, I started to ask the boys if they're using the ticket or not. If they're not using it, I'd be like, come on, this is a hybrid, so for you, Fabrice, we'll give it to you. And they just said, yeah, it helped the process. It was a one-of-a-lifetime opportunity, and I thoroughly enjoyed that day.
What did the manager say to you afterwards?
Now, with Mr. Wenger, you know, what I found, it was that he never said much, but he encouraged player to keep playing the ball forward. You know, so every time you have the ball, just play forward. In hindsight, I wish I played more ball forward, which means I was playing Arsenal a little bit longer, because I played so much sideways, so many why I left. But he just kept telling me, play forward. You know, it's a massive trick that most of the players miss, is to play forward ball. Now, like, I sit back, obviously, I stopped playing. I played more of my game was more get it and give it to the other person to go do the job. But I wish I could have taken more risk of playing forward ball.
Mm.
You know, and it would have probably made my career go a little bit further. I don't know if it would have made me go further, but I think it would have helped probably make me stay a little bit longer in that building.
Oh, okay, because it was after that you went on loan to Birmingham, didn't you? For
the loan with Birmingham, it came because, you know, after I had that two game and I played so well in the reserve, come back, you signed your first professional contract. So you're like, okay, what's the next step? And, you know, at that time, you know, Arsenal had Matthew, Gilberto, they had Song, Alex.
Yeah.
They just signed the Brazilian lad. Is it Danielson?
Danielson, yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, your my vision of getting in there, it become narrowed.
Mm.
You know, and I'm not different to any players. You know, when an opportunity came to go on loan, it was like, okay, let's go. You know, go and play men football. Experience was like to play Saturday, Tuesday, you know, in a championship, very tough division, and a good manager, Steve Bruce. You know, and I was fortunate that once I went in there, a week later, too, Nicholas and Seb came along.
Yes, Nicholas Bentner and Seb Larsson.
Yeah, so which made it even more easier for me. So I was like, okay, those are the guys that I used to play with. So it become more, I familiar myself with those guys. And it was just a great, great, great experience.
Yeah, you got voted the young player of the season, didn't you, there?
Yeah, I said I had a good season because I just felt, I think that the time that I spent at Arsenal and working under Mr. Wenger, it gave you that step ahead that when you play with a different level player, you're able to cope with them. So when, no disrespect to the guys that played at Birmingham, the guys that played at Arsenal were much more technically better than them.
Yeah.
So when I went across, I was like, okay, this is, you know, no, this is nothing new because I had this for over 2 years now. And then, you know, and it was perfect for me to go to Birmingham, you know, learn the trade, play hard, play men football. And it works out really well for me. We end up getting promoted to the Premier League at the end of the season.
And then that led to a permanent move after your loan deal. Was that a difficult decision for you? And was it your decision, or what did the club say at that time?
Once that season finished, and I had a message from Mr. Wenger to come and see him, but I knew exactly what was this, where is he going, you know? And they had Gilberto, Cesc, Denilson, you know, Alex. So that was about four guys ahead of me. However, you know, Mr. Wenger said, I would love to keep you here, but I cannot guarantee you to play in my team. Hmm. You know, as any players, you want, once you have a taste of playing men's football, I'm sorry, but you can ask any guys who tell you, nobody wants to be sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And I was no difference, you know. I said, I understand where you come from. I completely get your idea of what you want to do. But I think for me right now, I want to play men football. And Birmingham was just a perfect chance for me and a perfect place for me. Once we there was no argument. We actually ended up with very civil and amicable. Once we agreed that this was going to happen going forward, it's just telling me, like, anytime you want to come across, make sure you come here, come and see us, you know. And they agree, and I just went to Birmingham, and I spoke to Karen and David, Golden, Sullivan, and said, this is the plan going forward, you know. And we ended up doing a deal with Arsenal, and everybody worked out to be happy.
But you were still very young at the time. Was there ever a point when you thought, maybe I could just wait another year or two, see if I can get in the team at Arsenal? Or did you not really feel like that because you were young? And as you say, everyone wants to play first team football. But looking back, do you feel you could have maybe waited another year or two?
And then if I waited another year or two after playing 38 games in the Championship, that's whole of my season just gone to waste. Mm. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, I've had a taste of playing like men football. Why do I need to go back and wait and play a reserve game football? Maybe I wasn't patient enough anymore, because once I had a taste of playing Saturday, Tuesday, it's very difficult for any player to be told, well, you know, you're not quite ready to get into my team yet, you know. And bear that in mind, in that same year when I was in the Championship, we beat Newcastle, who were in the Premier League. We beat Newcastle twice in the FA Cup. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, if I can hold myself up in the Premier League against Newcastle, so surely I should be playing in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So I waited everything else. And as you said, I could have, then that would have been me waiting for a whole year not playing football. You know, as you said, he couldn't guarantee me a place in the team.
Yeah. And I guess in a year's time, you could be in a similar position. There's no guarantees, are there? So you wanted to play. And then you moved to Bolton, because you did play a few times at the Emirates against Arsenal, of course, and you scored as well against Arsenal.
Yes, I did score the year that I had my accident. I remember it was a Tuesday or Wednesday evening game, and we scored. I think we ended up losing 2-1 or 3-1 the game.
Yeah, 2-1 it was.
Great day. I enjoyed the celebration too.
you didn't score many goals, did you, Fabrice?
No, I never saw many girls. The one I saw, I celebrate, because it's like Christmas, you know, Christmas comes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And you mentioned that as a season that you had, well, as your accident, as you called it, the cardiac arrest at White Hart Lane. When you think back to that time now, eight years on, what's your initial emotion?
I was fortunate enough that obviously I had the best medical staff and that day that were able to come in to work under extreme pressure to be able to get me from the stadium to the hospital. And still try to help, you know, do all the CPR stuff, which it worked, and still help. You know, I think that was a huge, huge difference. You know, I had an ambulance, which was 10 seconds away from me. I had four doctors, which they were 10 seconds away from me. So all those guys, they came together and worked together and did a good job.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think fans will know the story, but just to recap, your heart had actually stopped, didn't it? I think for 78 minutes, I read. You were kept in hospital for a month while you recovered. It's pretty much a miracle, isn't it, that you're still here?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's nothing short of a miracle. I'm fortunate enough that I'm still here. You know, even, you know, prior to the accident, me and Terry were talking on the phone. So we exchanged message on Messenger.
With Terry?
Yeah, me and Terry were exchanging message on BlackBerry. And then he told me, just go out there, make sure you do well against Tottenham. And I remember missing a good chance to score a goal. To really score a goal. And then I came on halfway line, I just felt very dizzy. Then boom, it happened. You know, and to be fair to Thierry, he was in New York then, and he still came to see me.
Oh, he came over to see you in hospital?
He came to see me, and he came in at the back door, back entrance of the hospital. When everybody, don't get me wrong, most of the guys came in the front entrance, but he came in at the back entrance, spent about 10 or 20 minutes with me. I can only recall, I remember saying hello to him. Then me fell, because I was so drugged up, I couldn't recall everything. I remember saying to him, then me fell asleep, and he's speaking to my dad. And he literally spent 20 minutes and he flew back home straight away.
So that was just short, that was what, in the first couple of days afterwards, was it?
The first couple of days, probably the first three or four days, gone straight away. Yeah.
And that obviously meant a lot to you.
Terry's a good guy. I remember even now, we talk now, you know. When I had to decide to stop, I was going to New York for an event, and I called him. I said, I'm in New York. He said, come over. So I went to his place. We had an open conversation, and he gave me his honest opinion. He said, listen, if you play, I'm not sure. If you stop, you're still going to be here. So which one you decide, you know? And that was just his honest opinion to me.
And did that help you make your decision?
Yes. I think he kind of put it in the table because I was so adamant to go back and play.
Mm.
You know, and I was like, oh, it just makes sense. If he's saying it, and if other people say the same thing, then why not just make a decision? And I just, you know, when I went to see the specialist and we decided, I was it. So that was it.
Yeah, because you were only 24 at the time, weren't you?
Yeah.
So obviously it was a difficult decision. Who else did you speak? Is there anyone else from the sort of Arsenal family that were in touch with you at that time?
Oh, me and Johan Giroud, one of my best mates. I speak to Johan. I said to Johan, this is what happened. He's like, Fab, listen, man, your health is important. You know, don't kill yourself. Yes, you're going to miss football, but you're still going to be here. So, you know, you have to make the right decision. And once we make that decision, once you get in the same vibe for most of the guys,
Yeah. Makes
it sense just say, you know what, well, let's just call it a day. It was a difficult pill to swallow, I must say.
Yeah, of course.
It was just one of those things where you have to look at a bigger picture.
So that time itself, it must have been a crazy time for your family because there was so much media attention around you. Did that make it more difficult? Because obviously they're worried about your safety. And as I say, you know, it was touch and go. You're fighting for your life, but it's all over the front pages of all the newspapers. How difficult was it, do you know, for them to deal with?
I felt for my missus because she had to deal with a lot of stuff behind the scene. You know, obviously, yes, I'm getting all the attention and miracle man whatsoever. But behind the scene, it was, you know, she couldn't do anything. She couldn't go to the supermarket or anything. You know, we had paparazzi outside my gate every single day. So, you know, but she was strong enough to be able to know how to do it. And we managed to go through that stage, and which make it even more better now, like we're in a better position, be able to deal with it. You know, it can be daunting at a time once you never see a press. But when you see one press, when you see 20, 30 of them, asking the same question, you kind of, you know, don't know what to do with yourself at that particular moment, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask what you learned about yourself during those months afterwards when you were recovering, still wondering whether to carry on playing football. It must have been a time when you found out a lot about yourself.
Yes, you learn how resilient you are as a person, but also you also appreciate, you know, what you have, you know, people that works with you. I remember when I was in hospital, Mr. Dean came to see me twice. David Dean came to see me.
Yeah.
David didn't come to see me twice and just come and just see how I am and stuff like that. And you know, come to see my father just to check on him, send him a message. And there's so many, like, you get so many messages from different players, but also it shows you that football, it's a big family.
Yeah.
And if you are a good person, everybody in football will know about you and will go out of their way to make sure that they look after you. And I think that's for me was a prime example. And I was thankful that I had so many messages, so many my fellow professional and ex-player that came to check for me and to make sure that I was okay.
So do you know how the sport have reacted since then? Have you been involved in any of the research that's been done as to why it happened and how it, you know, how we can stop it happening?
I've been in the room where people talk about it.
Mm.
But, you know, you cannot stop this. You can only, you can have to react when it happened. The reaction of it, that's what, the reaction of the event, that's what makes a difference.
So it's having defibrillators on standby and, as you said, ambulances and having the...
All that kind of stuff. If you're able to have access to all the stuff, it gives you a 50% chance of surviving it. You know, if this thing happened in a train station and with there's no defibrillator or there's no an ambulance or somebody don't know how to do CPR, but that's a whole, we're talking about different situation then, you know? Because if you learn how to do it, and if you know how to do CPR, that gives you a chance as well. You know, and I've been in a medical conference when you emphasize of people having CPR, being able to do CPR and knowing the nearest, you know, emergency and call the ambulance as soon as possible. That's for me is the biggest thing I'll take out of it. Knowing how to do CPR and call the ambulance as soon as you can.
So had there been, you said you can't prevent it. Had there been any warning signs at all? Had you ever had any problems in training, even as a youngster or?
No, I've never had no problem. No problem whatsoever. No, at all. Even the year that I had my accident, I went in, we did the checkup and everything.
That's the thing. There's so many checks in football, aren't there? Between pre-season and all through the season as well.
I did a check in the beginning of the season. During the season, there was no sign whatsoever. Whatsoever. Not at all. None at all.
So since then, do you feel like you've almost been given a second chance? And obviously it's not playing football, which is your first love, but you've been doing lots of other things since then, haven't you?
Yeah. Listen, I've been given a chance to, first of all, to be alive and to be able to and see my kids. It's a huge for me, you know. And the truth to be told, I should be 6 feet under right now. But for me to still be here, get up in the morning, play with my children, you know, forget about football. Just being able to breathe alone, it you take it for granted. But when you're on the other side of it, you really appreciate the little things. And for me, I'm thankful and I'm grateful for every single thing that I've got right now, to be honest.
Does it change over time how you look back on it? As I say, it's 8 years ago now. Do your emotions change from, I don't know, from what they were to, is it any different nowadays?
You're just very appreciative of it all, to be honest. There's no, you know, I know people who have been in the same similar circumstance as me, but they came out way worse than me, way worse than me, you know? Because you've got to remember, I didn't have no oxygen in my brain for 70 odd minutes. You know, and when you don't have oxygen for over 70 minutes, you should be severely brain damaged. But I'm not anything like that. So, and I know people who even, you know, had a heart attack for 10 minutes and they're in a worse position than me. So for me, I enjoy everything and I don't take anything for granted. You know, it's been nothing but it's been, you know, people, you know, the medical side have been great to me. So I can't really complain at all.
And we've seen you've been doing lots of media work since then. You even did a bit of dancing, didn't you? Strictly Come Dancing as well. So you're making the most of everything.
I think when you get to the stage where you have to put your hands on everything, I think Strictly was one of those opportunities when they approached me. I was like, I wasn't sure, but I was like, oh yeah, let's give it a go. So we gave it a go. So we enjoyed it. So we moved on now.
Yeah. So what are you doing now? You're getting back into football, aren't you? Coaching?
Yeah, I did a bit. Obviously, I'm based up north, so I spend 2 years at City, 2 years at Liverpool. So just to do my coaching badge and work with these young players. And I also work for the PFA at the moment. So it's been great. And, you know, when the time is right, I'm sure I'll pull myself out there in terms of coaching. And we just have to wait and see, really, for the right opportunity.
So you're not working at a club at the moment?
No. I've done all my badges. I I said I've spent time with, you know, I spent 2 years at Liverpool. I spent 2 years at Man City. The reason why I spent 2 years at Man City is because of Patrick. Because when Patrick was the under 21 coach, he was able to say, you know, you can come in and work, you know, help me out with some stuff. So I was able to do that, which helped me to get most of my qualification done over there.
So has that helped you being back in football, even if it's not playing? You've been able to be involved somehow.
Yeah, you do see it. You also it's funny because when you coach kids, you think, wow, you know, how I wish I was young again.
Yeah.
You know, how I would do things completely different. That for me, it also to be in a pitch with the guys, it's great. It's great just to watch the kids play, kid, you know, train and everything. It's great. I think probably the best thing for any ex-player, you know, the best thing to do is just to go back and coach, to be honest.
And so the long term, you want to get into coaching, or short term, I'm sure, future, you want to get into coaching. Have you got anything in mind, anything lined up, or are you just waiting to?
Listen, I think we're in a very difficult circumstance right now worldwide. You know, everything on standby. So I think once everything start moving again, I'll see my option. And I've got two or three options right now, but I gotta have to weigh in if it's worth for me to put my, you know, if it's worth for me to even consider going coaching route. So we have to wait and see, really, to be honest.
Because there's lots of former Arsenal players back at the club, working in the academy, working with the first team. If you would come back to Arsenal one day?
Yeah, I spoke to the academy manager, not Metasaka, but the one in Helen. He asked me if you ever want to come in and you know, speak to the kids or coach them, you feel free, which is, I feel, was great. It probably when everything come back to normal again, and when things allow ourselves to happen, and I'm sure I'll be able to come in and speak to those young guys at Helen. No problem at all.
So you're still part of the Arsenal family?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, lovely. Fabrice, thanks a lot for your time today. I really enjoyed hearing your voice again, listening to you tell the stories. And it's good to know that you're still involved in football in some way. So we'd love to see you back at Arsenal soon.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for listening to me anyway. So I appreciate it.
And as ever, at home as well, we'd love to hear your feedback. So please drop us a review and a ratings on iTunes. And so thanks for listening. Until next time. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.